is the Go Blue Crew.
Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. How are you doing today, Derek?
Fantastic. Good day.
Do you mean fantastic? Or
I mean fantastic.
How people say, like, oh, it's great.
I'm doing real well. If I was doing horrible, I'd let you know.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm just not feeling it today. No, that's.
I trust you.
It's good. You know, it's. We always have this conversation. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you might have your chilly evenings, but, you know, sun's shining 80% of the day. You know, we're staying in the 70s for the most part. That does a lot for your well-being, honestly.
Yeah, that's very true. Before we get into a sort of three distinct topics that all come back to NIL, I wanted to let you know, Derek, that my baseball team, we're back at it again this season.
Good.
We did drop our opener 8-3 on Saturday, but we got another game tomorrow on Thursday.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll look to get into the win column for the first time this season, but, you know, it's good that it's youth baseball season again. You know, we're back out there working hard.
I mean, what's the goal of this season? Think of above 500?
You can't ever, as a youth baseball or a youth coach in general, I think, tie your goals to win-loss records. I think you tie your goals to, first and foremost, how much fun the kids are having, because if they're not having fun, there's no point in being out there. But then in terms of performance metrics, I think you tie your success to improvement. So, you know, my personal goal is to just always be the most improved team in our league from start to finish. I want to measure myself against the teams that we lost to early in the season, and that I think we're, you know, clearly better than us at the start of the season. So that's my performance metric.
But you want to win.
Of course I want to win.
Do you Not play the same kids. Team again for a chance to beat them?
Yeah, there's only four teams in our division. So we'll go back and forth quite a bit.
Good. Yeah. Hey, season's early. Coach them up.
It is early. Yeah.
Keep them having fun. Pay that NIL.
What about NIL?
Pay the NIL. Pay the players.
Oh, we're not quite there.
Okay.
Not yet. But you know who will get paid? Moving over to old Kansas is Hunter Dickinson. Right?
Those numbers out?
Probably not. I don't think. But he did it. You know, he implied. That's the kind of the word that you see. You know, he implied that money played a big role in that decision to go to Kansas. And, you know, I'm not here to, like, say that's not good, or, you know, that he's unequivocally doing the right thing for the right reasons. Like, that'd be unfair, you know, to kind of step into Hunter Dickinson's shoes and say, well, here's what he ought to do. But I think it's fair to say that money played a role in this thing. You mentioned on his podcast, the Round Ball podcast. God bless the Barstool media machine, but that he got less than six figures.
Which pays, by the way.
Yeah. He got less than six figures at Michigan. I'm also making less than six figures, to be straight up with you, Derek, at my job.
I think what I found fascinating is this comment that people hating on me would leave their job right now for a $10,000 increase.
I saw that, and that directly applied to me. I left my job for a $10,000 increase, and it wasn't just about the $10,000, but I thought that was a little eerie, ironic. You know, I was in the exact situation of leaving a job for a $10,000 raise. Do you think that's broadly
maybe
true,
he,
though?
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of depends where you're at, what that money means to you. To him, I think he picked, honestly, a pretty sweet spot. I think a 10K raise is You know, I think most people would be pretty satisfied with the 10K raise. You know, a lot of people maybe would hope for that at the company they're at if they like what they're doing. And people who maybe have other reasons to leave, they're not gonna, you know, turn down 10K. Like, hey, no, I'll come for the same price. But it is interesting. I just what I take from it is how much of it is what Michigan provided, maybe directly set him up with. It must be that versus Kansas, right? Like it. That's why I kind of want to know like what the numbers are. I wish some more of this would be released. It seems like it's been going on long enough where we'd hear more of like the Texas A&M stories where they're just unloading on football players and you know the University of Miami, same thing. LSU right now with three All-Americans on their women's basketball program that's coming off of a championship. Obviously, Hunter Dickinson was a big time transfer target, and I think most people felt like he was gone the moment he announced the way he eventually announced it, the way Juwan Howard mentioned it before. But I don't know. I felt we kind of talked about maybe being like, of course, you'd like a Hunter Dickinson on your team, but was it time? You know, was the team limited because of the amount of time he had to get the ball, his back to the basket play? And I just think some of the comments, you know, that I still love Michigan, but you know, it was more money. He got to make a selfish decision. Didn't like the criticism he was getting. Didn't feel like Michigan fans liked his brash personality. And that's all the stuff we talked about, like during the season. Like you wear a ski mask and you lose a game, like people are gonna talk. And the people that are
Yeah,
going to talk the
that'll
most
do it.
outside of Wisconsin fans in that instance are Michigan fans. Like,
Yeah.
you know, don't, it does suck when a team loses. It does suck when your team doesn't make the NCAA tournament. But at the same time, like you're a part of that. It almost feels like, hey, I did everything I could. Couldn't put the players around me. Couldn't give me the money to keep me to stay. And that's where I don't love that this is all trending, but hey man, the guy deserves to be paid. If there's a market for it, and there's the dollars available, he ought to go find those, and he did. And I think Kansas ends up being a good landing spot for him. Obviously, a historic program, but NIL is changing the game continuously. And I'm trying to think back to just how shocking it honestly was to hear the news in the first place. And then in classic Hunter Dickinson fashion, it was drawn out and kind of a clown show. But hey, I'll tune into a Kansas game, see how he looks in a Jayhawk jersey.
That'll be interesting. I don't know if you know this. A lot of people don't actually, but Kansas and Michigan, it's not on the schedule yet, but they actually meet in the Sweet 16 next season.
In the Sweet 16, huh?
Yeah.
Love to see a Kansas Michigan matchup. I'm going to assume that Kansas would be the better seeded team.
Yeah, Michigan gets in there as an 8 seed.
Yeah, it's tough. What an
Yeah.
upset, though.
Yeah, it'll be good. And last thing on Hunter Dickinson, because there's no point in rehashing things that we talked about last episode, but I think to be fair to him, one of the things that is also clear outside of money is that Hunter Dickinson is a really good basketball player who is playing on a not great basketball team, and that absolutely played a role in this decision to leave. And then you see where, I mean, he could have gone basically anywhere, but to go to Kansas, I think further solidifies that position that, you know, this isn't just about money or personal notoriety. I mean, the guy wants to play meaningful basketball games in March. You know, that's kind of what it comes down to on the court side. Totally fair. And I think that's pretty clear, and there's really no room there to criticize him for that. But you made a comment earlier about how NIL is continuing to change the game, which perfectly transitions us to our next topic here, NIL related, which is the upcoming, apparently, well, I'm holding my breath on this one, but the EA Sports college football video game that's supposed to be coming out summer of 2024. And thankfully, this was one of the last big hurdles to clear, but college football players will be able to have their likeness represented in that game. Now, there aren't clear funding or, payment mechanisms right now. It's not totally clear, I think, what the technology would look like. I mean, face scans are a possibility, but it would be unrealistic to go do that for thousands of, college football players. If presumably a huge portion of them, I think, will sign on to this, especially considering, there's going to be some kind of payment involved. And I think back even to the days where it was obvious that their likeness was being used. And yeah, there were complaints about, well, wait a second, they're using me basically in this video game. Why is there no money involved? But it was also pretty common to hear things like, holy crap, I'm in a video game. Right. Like, that was a big incentive to be a college football player at the FBS level. And so even though there isn't a funding mechanism, I keep saying funding, a payment mechanism firmly in place, it's the fact that you could be, you could be in a video game, I think is still a pretty convincing argument for 17, 18, 19-year-old kids. And, you think about all the way up to 22, 23-year-olds who are using their last year or two of eligibility. Like, that's got to be a big deal to them. So that's why I think, regardless of what that looks like, I can't imagine that we'll see too many players decide to forego that opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's funny when they advertise it as, college football players to be featured in the game for the first time. Obviously what they mean is the actual players and names, but
yeah.
Everyone I know that played, the numbers, it was very much implied. They did a very good job at implying, making ratings, pretty accurate.
You can go play as Devin Gardner right now in NCAA 14.
Right. And Devin Gardner plays very similar to how Devin Gardner played
in that game. Yeah.
Like, they put a lot of time, play, and energy into making the game a place that, didn't directly represent the players, but was very much, college player. So the way they're saying this is kind of goofy, but I think it's one about time. I would love to see if it can come out, if it's going to be set to come out in the summer of 2024. You're obviously trying to get ahead of the 2024 football season. Those games always release before the season. A lot of times, with the next year's next year on the game, 2025. Be curious to see what they do with this one. How will they handle a transfer market where you just had this, another late transfer period. Now grad transfers can still transfer. You're working on the development of a game, maybe a yearly game like these usually are. A lot of moving parts. Are they going to send out roster updates? What are they going to do if they pay guys and you're a star in a game and you're getting paid, but then your player gets injured? I just wonder if money is going to, how much say will the players have? And will there be a star player that just maybe even for the hell of it's like, nah, like I'm good. Now you don't get to go play with, a Texas running back. And how do you keep a, just like you never could have a name on the back of a jersey, right? Same thing. But you would always go to a football game and you'd see a Denard Robinson jersey that was, somebody put Robinson on the back of a number 16 jersey. So what's going to keep you from creating your own player, creating players who are similar? I'm excited for the game, though. Regardless of what they do with the NIL, how much players are getting played, what the revenue distribution is, all that to be determined, I just honestly hope it's a solid game. I mean, there's so much hype around something that hasn't been around for, it'll be 10 plus years. And there's a lot of complaints about the Maddens, the 2Ks, how similar they feel every year.
Because they suck.
Because they're not Like NCAA football was so much different than Madden.
Yeah,
I hope that
better.
They're not just like reskinning Madden to fit the college game, because that would be the easiest way to launch into it. Like, figure out the money part, figure out the name, image, likeness part. But if you don't figure out the game, like, it'll be bought. Don't get me wrong. People are going to buy and play the game.
I'm in line.
Like, I'm, you know, I'll pre-order it. I'll get the deluxe edition if they put someone, if they put J.J. McCarthy on the cover. And that's another thing. Yeah. Like, I guarantee there's going to be probably 100 covers, you know, because people are going to want to see their team's best player on the cover. They're going to want to pay for that. They're probably going to want to pay extra for that. Does that player get that money? There's a lot of things that they can do. New playoff model. There's a lot of things. If I were to pick the thing I'd be most excited about, it'd be, say you start a dynasty, right? Which we've all done.
Right.
You start a dynasty and you, I don't know, maybe you lose a New Year's Six game. And then it's just like three of your top stars, like, absolutely. You know how the media used to be like, how interested are they in staying?
Yeah.
Or not staying, but coming back for a fourth year. How interested are they in terms of being recruited? Well, it's just like, hey, Kansas is going to pay four times as much, and there's literally nothing you can do about it because your NIL sucks. Like, are they going to make that even playing field? Like, what is the dynasty going to look like? Because not only have 10-plus years passed, college football is drastically different from even introducing a playoff since then. So, I mean,
you know what I would really like is, you know, that situation you're talking about, you can go in, right, and like make a promise to a player to try to convince them to stay, and they're always, you know, you'll get this many carries or we'll win this many games. Add a realistic element here, and I can't imagine this actually happening, but I've always thought it'd be really cool if you could go in and some of these promises are not sanctioned, not legal, and somehow the game generates a certain percentage chance that you know, get away with it. And same thing with what I guess you would call it tampering, you know, hey, Kansas is offering me this. What are you going to do to match it?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you,
that'd be cool.
You would have to create a game that has an environment where you could go. I mean, the easiest way is to make it like free agency, you know, randomly generate players who are unhappy and are in like a portal. But what allows you to go after a player who's like, it's almost like the game's going to have to generate the portal for you. Because I don't think that they'd be able to open it. This is a real thing. Like, tampering is a real thing. You have people reaching out to players in the middle of their seasons like, hey, come by next season. We've got something better for you. Like, it'd be awesome. Like, you know, week three, you're like, man, my receivers are horrible. And you just start going browsing other teams' rosters. Because you could always edit things on other teams that weren't your own, the CPU teams. And it's just like, tamper with player, question mark. And you can only do like five per year.
And you get it's like the recruiting points. You get tampering points.
Right.
You know how we were talking about Deion Sanders cleaning house over at Colorado? You can do that pretty easily in the games that already exist. I was just thinking about this. You know, we were kind of getting out on Deion Sanders for the way he's handled things at Colorado, a little, some might call it a brutal over there. We do it every season, man. In my dynasty, the roster's capped at, what is it, 70? Or I can't remember the number, but you know, you're eight players over and you just had a monster recruiting class, and now you're cutting juniors and seniors who have been there with you through thick and thin for the last few years. And I think the new game has the potential to take that to another level now without, you know, these caps on incoming classes.
Yep.
What's stopping you from signing a, you know, 25 member class and also, you know, getting your top seven targets out of the transfer portal, and now you've got a roster that's enormous and way too big, and you've got to go make some tough decisions with some kids who have been there for you.
So, or even like, say you recruit your second quarterback in a class, but then you go get a transfer quarterback. Like, can they make it so that guy's interest level or, probability of wanting to transfer goes up? Like, if two guys are even level stats, but you pick one guy to start all season, like, is it automatically just going to be like, player's happiness is down, player's likelihood to transfer? The other thing I'm interested in is like a road to glory mode. What they can do with that. I think you could make it really creative of what different teams offer you.
You can't transfer out of, I learned that you can't transfer out of your road to glory team.
Really?
I'm talking about in like former.
I was like, oh man, and they're really missing the mark.
I was so disappointed because how you like don't play well enough in high school, or you don't play as many games as you feel like you really should. So you end up at like a max school, but then you get good, and you're like, well, shit. Like, I bet I shouldn't have said that on the podcast, but I feel like I can. Move up perhaps to a Big Ten school. You can't do it in Road to Glory. So I'd love to see that feature.
That is true. But like the problem used to be, you could move around coaching as much as you want.
Yeah.
You could go, get a cupcake team, take them to the, the playoff equivalent, the BCS, and, jump schools, you get offers. So another question, I could go, we have to dedicate a whole episode to this when we get more information.
Yeah.
My last one, are coaches in the game? Because, there was always the generic coach. Maybe
Brady
tried to
Hoke
resemble.
Dominates NCAA 14.
Yeah.
He does.
Yes.
Brady Hoke and Army, that when you reach season, when you're in the year 2038, Brady Hoke's coach at Michigan and Army is a perennial number one.
Yeah, there's always one of those schools, the Army, the Air Force, Navy.
One of the academies always.
One of the academies always just all of a sudden just, every single year.
I love it. We really do need to do a dedicated show to. We don't even need to wait for the new game. I mean, we've got plenty of memories in NCAA 14. Could totally pull it off.
Oh yeah, I already have so many thoughts already. So yeah, we'll circle
some
back
ideas
on this
together. Yeah, the last thing we spent a lot of time talking about that, and I almost forgot that we need to talk briefly here again, NIL related. But Blake Corum, he made kind of what we could consider a shocking comment, which was it was shocking because of the level of transparency. But basically Jim Harbaugh told him his advice was to go to the NFL, and obviously Blake Corum did not do that. And the knee injury definitely changed the trajectory of his career. And, but first of all, this is two parts. Are you surprised that Jim Harbaugh or any coach, I guess how surprising is it that they would give that sort of really honest advice, where obviously it's in Jim Harbaugh's interest for Blake Corum to return to his team. And then how surprised are you at the level of transparency from Blake Corum? Be like, yeah, I went and talked to my coach and here's what he said.
I guess maybe not surprised by either. I'd be more surprised by the first if I didn't listen to the whole segment. There's a part in there where post-Illinois, he's told that by playing, he can't really make it worse. And he went and told Coach Harbaugh, and Harbaugh, you hear that? He's playing. And everyone, went wild. And there's always been the, speculations of how Harbaugh is with injuries. People want to look at the Cade McNamara, the Eric All situations. Speculation that he doesn't like people looking other places. But, what I heard Blake Corum say is, went from the team doc and medical staff to the Detroit Lions staff to the Chicago Bears staff. And then a guy, maybe separate from his work with the Rams, but a guy who I believe is also a doctor for the LA Rams. So, I mean, that's plenty of opinions. And, you know, his Coach Harbaugh's advice to Blake Corum was, you know, get the procedure done and go to the league. So I'm a big believer that Harbaugh is not a BSer. And when he's that excited that Corum's going to try to give it a go and play injured, take one for the team to beat Ohio State, he's legitimately excited. And I think when he says go pro, he thinks that Blake Corum, you know, if he was in his shoes, should make that decision. I think he's not obviously upset that he doesn't go pro. You know, he'd love to have Blake Corum back. Anybody in college football would love to have Blake Corum on their team next year. I buy everything that he says, and I think that level of transparency makes Blake Corum unique. I've always thought he was has been great to listen to. Talks very highly about the community. He's very involved in both Ann Arbor and Ipsy communities. You know, I mentioned NIL, basically mentioned all of the pros for coming back and avoiding the pros this year. But yeah, you know, Jim Harbaugh giving that advice is maybe what you even want to hear if you're a player at the caliber of a Blake Corum who's thinking about coming to Michigan is, hey, this guy is obviously a coach that players love. And, you know, he's encouraging players to, you know, go make the money. You know, go test out the waters, go get drafted. But yeah, you know, Coach Harbaugh's got to be happier than anybody that Blake Corum is ultimately coming back.
Yeah, and the reason this is NIL related also is because it's really hard to imagine everything else being equal that somebody as good as Blake Corum decides to return for another year of college football if NIL isn't involved. Again, I think sometimes I said in a negative way, like, oh, you know, the money is changing the way they all think, and I'm not one of those people at all, but it is just a fact, I think, that, you know, in this decision and countless others across college sports, NIL is making a difference in decisions, and it'd be unfathomable just a handful of years ago, or even just a few years ago, you know, for someone like Blake Corum to actually come back, injury or not, whatever the advice is, the fact that NIL is in place and the fact that it's getting more robust and not less so, I think, you know, that's undeniable. That plays a huge role in this.
Well, yeah, I think of it too. And I think this is the opposite side of the coin is Hunter Dickinson stuff. And this is no ill towards Hunter Dickinson, but I think Blake Corum in his position last year in importance, obviously a part of a better team with a RB, you know, 1B, who is also Heisman caliber, 2 years in a row where your offensive line's the best in the country, and two playoff teams. But, you know, Blake Corum's, you know, level of play for Michigan football is – I mean, Hunter Dickinson hasn't been the player of the year conversation the last couple of years, really. I think there was a lot of hype his freshman year. Blake Corum was legitimately in the Heisman race. And I do truly think could have still been a part of that conversation at a very high level, even though it would have probably ultimately gone to a quarterback either way. But it's just interesting. You know, you've got a guy who's mentioning a bunch of things, another shot at the title, leaving a legacy, you know, things that Hunter Dickinson's like, hey, I'll always have a legacy at Michigan. I just had to make a selfish decision. And you got Blake Corum saying, I don't want my legacy to be what it was last year, even though last year was pretty damn good. Like, you're not leaving a bad legacy because you got injured. It just feels like the total opposite scenario. One guy's like, hey, this place means too much to me. I have too much opportunity. NIL makes this possible. Another guy's like, hey, give me the bag. I'm gone. So biased, selfishly, like the latter situation better. I love the fact that, you know, we end talking about a guy coming back to Michigan because of the opportunity. Because the level of Corum or level of play Blake Corum can bring to a field is really second to none in some of those situations he had last year. You know, he's a really, really good running back, with likely, you know, somewhat of a future in the NFL, no matter how he plays next season. So, yeah, I think that, again, one program is in a better spot than the other, that's for sure. So maybe making that decision a little easier, but you got to love and respect Corum's transparency and the fact that he, you know, he thinks he has a job that's yet to be finished.
Hey, we both have cursed on this episode. I bet it's been a long time.
I think we're taking maybe our breaks are too long.
Yeah, I mean, this was a market explicit 13 episode, if there ever was one. I think it's been a while since we, you know, both crossed that line. But I think that's a good place to end it there. We've both cursed. We're ending on a high note here with Blake Corum. I think we get ready for the NCAA 14 deep dive.
Yeah.
Best memories, best seasons, best players. I used to have a notebook with that kind of stuff.
I've got to fire it back up.
Yeah.
It's can hard I get for it me connected get on the big right screen downstairs?
Yeah.
Go at it. I don't know if it's going to scale very well to these new TVs.
It probably won't.
But that's I'm really curious to see. But yeah.
We'll do it.
Let's do it.
We'll do it then. All right. Well, we'll catch you next time then. You know, maybe talking some NCAA 14, talking some Brady Hoke, see how he's doing at Michigan all these years later. But until then, take care out there and go blue.
Go blue.